Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Nope. Escape from Wolfheim, Episode 2. Corridors are for squares. Part 2. Last time on Dungeons & Junkies Presents, Escape from Wolfheim, Episode 2. Corridors are for squares. Our adventurers woke up on a roof to find themselves without choice but to enter Vicious's evil funhouse of torture, known as the Cube. Our adventurers have made it through the first floor, relatively unscathed, and battled with a troop of skeletons, but now must face another one of Vicious's pets. Will they survive? Let's find out.
9, 3, 11, 12, 14, 1, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, please?
It's two minus one, so not for one.
Put that dice in jail.
I'm gonna switch another set, I think.
That is a three for Vash. And let me just make sure.
That's a
good tumbler. There we go. And let's see. Oh, it's a six.
Alright!
So, as you once again regain your composure in, once again, this stone or the castle room, the voice of Vicious can once again be heard echo throughout the room going, and in door number two of challenges, you have found yourself with one of my favorite pets. It's Frankie! And as he says this, and you hear this, a large creature, I'll just give you its, it's a Cthulhu. So it's a mutated Cthulhu. I can send you all a picture if you don't know what that is.
And I'm aware of Cthulhu, yeah.
It's a big lobster crab man.
Oh, I know one of these.
Yeah, that one.
Fish with Carol.
Yeah, Fish with Carol.
Right, okay.
He basically looks like a giant lobster man.
With Cthulhu face, with the tendrils coming out of it.
Do you have a poke fish with us? Like, in the room?
No.
Poke. It was like the fish was like the religious figure, wasn't it, at the end?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Have you taken something funky you found in, like, a parking lot?
No. I promise that happened.
Okay, but, as I said, Frankie, the Chool, he is not going first. Our first up will be Damien. Damien, what would you like to do?
Murder so many people, but I don't think that's an option. I'm so angry. Right, I'm just gonna go for a standard Eldritch Blast right at its tentacles, because I'm angry.
You are looking to beat an armor class of 15.
Yeah, well, I have a plus 5. Is it plus 5? Yes, it is. 16 plus 5.
Well, that is a definite hit. So can you roll me damage? And roll me an extra d6 for me with a 21 on that hit.
Nice. Where's my d10? There it is. Why am I singing this? That's an 8 on the d10 and a 2 on the d6.
Alright. That means Zura is up next.
Other ones are here.
Sorry, so Damien just yeets black lightning. He's just like, steps into the room and is like,
ugh. Okay, I want to stab it in the face with my lance.
Alright. Well, first of all, if you're going to try and stab it in the face with the lance, we're going to have a battle of strength. So roll me a d20 real quick. And I'm going to roll one as well.
15 plus 6.
Alright, well, now you can roll me for damage.
9.
Alright, so the Frankie tries to catch your incoming lance with his tentacles, But you're quicker than he thought, and you get right through, and you stab him directly into the face. But your lance is now trapped in the maw of this Chul, Frankie.
Can I try and rip it out of his mouth? Do more damage, or is that not going to happen?
Well, it is actually Frankie's turn right now. Frankie is going to actually try and pincer you. So he misses with his first pincer, but he also tries to strike with his second pincer, which also, once again, the lance in his maw is really throwing Frankie's aim off as he just harmlessly lobster claws at your face, but misses both times. And with that, though, he spits out the lance and kind of steps back from you with its last action. Next, we will then have Noonvark up.
Because I've never seen one, is it literally just a giant lobster, or...?
It's about a 10-foot tall. It looks... It has the face of Cthulhu. Like, it has all the tentacles coming out of it like a squid. And then it's four-legged, and then it has two large pincers.
It's like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh. Okay, I kind of understand now. Can I move around closer towards the back of it to stab it with my trident? They're like the giant snippy things.
Alright, yeah. You want to move around the back and you're trying to stab it in the back? Okay.
Yeah.
That is, you're going to have to beat
Flexal
a 16.
Exam.
You're going to have to beat a 16 as it does have a shell on its back. Carapace, if you will.
And that is a miss.
So your trident just kind of glances harmlessly off of the back carapace of this Frankie the Shul. Then we are up to Vash, who will try, and he is going to use his ability, which is Winging Shot. So he's going to try and take out one of the Chul's legs. And that is a 19, so that is a hit. So the Chul will not take any damage, but Vash fires his magnum, and it rocks one of the front legs of the Chul, knocking it and causing the Chul to fall face forward and land on the ground. So the Chul is now on the ground, prone, until its next turn. And that means it is LB up now.
Does that mean that the soft underbelly is now exposed?
Yes.
Excellent. I'd like to cast Guiding Bolt, specifically aiming at the underbelly.
All right. That will only be a armor class of 12 to beat that.
Okay, and I am going to use a ranged spell attack against the target on a hit. Target takes 4d6 radiant damage, and the next attack roll against the target before the end of my next turn will also have advantage.
Roll an attack then. Please hit.
That is, and I've got to do that. It's, I've got 17 plus my spellcrafting modifier of 5, so that's 22.
Wow. All right. Well, you can...
4d6 damage.
I thought... you can roll me 2d6 damage, then.
2?
Yeah. Or was it 3 to begin with?
It's 4. It's 4d6 damage, yeah.
Well, give me a 5th one, then.
Okay. That's a 6. A 2. A 5. A 1. A 5.
19.
Ooh, the guiding bolts rip at the soft underbelly of Frankie, and you can see it's starting to tear the flesh a little bit, and the kind of dark blood of the Chul can be seen leaking out. He's still squirming around, though, so he is definitely not done with you fools yet.
It's also left a mythical, dim, glittering light on the target, so the next person who has an attack on it will get advantage.
Fantastic. Well, that will bring us back then around to Damien.
Oh, heaven help him. You're welcome, by the way.
I am going to go... We're going to bring back Ding Dongs, but I'm literally going to stand, like, over him, essentially, and, like, over his face and just fucking toll the dead at close range.
All right, well, you can only beat a 10, then, and I'll let you roll this with advantage. So...
8 plus 5, 6 plus 5. So
both would have hit. So you can roll me some damage here.
D12, because he's taking damage already. Oh, that's a symbol. That's a 12.
Oh, that is a crit! Crit 12!
On these ones, they are like little symbols. So I was like,
oh, I love
that.
But yes, with that crit 12, the toll of the dead, how does he die this time? Because Frankie has passed away.
Essentially, I kind of see what LB has done, and I step forward, and I clasp a hand on each side of its head, and do Toll the Dead, and it just reverberates, and his fucking head explodes, and tentacles go everywhere, and then Damien just steps back, and like brushes off a few tentacles, and is like, shall we go on?
Ah, but yes, Frankie is dead, and the voice comes over the room, you lot, pretty impressive. Miles to go before you sleep, but, you know, you've caught my eye.
I'm gonna do that to you in a minute.
There are doors now on the... Hold on. There are doors on the east, west, and south walls.
I open the east.
Communication!
The white light covers you all as Zura rips open the door and you wake up in once again another room, and there are doors on the south and west walls, but along the north wall is a very large 6 foot tall bust, and you, looking at it, you can see that it's a bust of what looks to be a dragonborn.
Dragonborn.
Looks like a prick.
Is it just like a statue bust, or is it so just the head and shoulders basically?
It is.
Right, okay, so no fear about becoming an actual dragonborn to fight then.
Can I decapitate it just in case it becomes a dragonborn?
You want to decapitate a bust?
Well, I mean, it does have shoulders.
Alex, out of curiosity, do you have any impulse control at all?
Welcome. I've lived with Alex for his whole life. I can confirm that he doesn't.
How are you still here? How has Kerry not killed you?
No idea, but if you're going on my character, he's a 300-year-old granddad. I think you should give him some credit.
Believe me, we've tried to kill each other several times.
So you'd like to swing your weapon at it, Zura?
Yes, okay, I'll swing my sword at it.
I guess in your case, more age meant less wisdom.
He does have minus one wisdom.
There you go.
It's a lot.
The sword, as you use all your strength, actually just slams into the side of the neck. And actually just, it doesn't go through at all. And you feel an actual reverberation through your arm. And you actually take 2 points of damage because it hurts so bad and you swung with such force against this and it did nothing.
I'm like, that's the longest I've felt muscles in that arm for a while.
Why did you think that was going to work? I mean, it's made of brass.
Can I investigate it a bit more closely?
You can. Roll me a wisdom perception check. Or investigation check.
Vision. The fuck do I add for that? That. 15.
You do see that the bust is just a normal bust. There's no magical properties. But as you're inspecting it closer, you do notice that on the underside, there is one of a small emblem of, once again, the snake curled into a dagger that seems to be on the bottom, and it seems to be a button on the bottom of this bust.
I push the button.
Push the button, and nothing seems to happen in the room, but you do seem to hear a loud, like, clink from far away.
I cast Bless on everyone in the party.
All right, then. And what does that do, Mr. Matt?
What it does is everyone who it's cast on, which would be
everyone.
Us four, but not on Bash, because I've run out. Because I've only do four. It gives everyone a extra D4 to any roll that is a attack or saving throw, just in case we need it.
What, so your next attack or ongoing?
Use it when you want to.
Alright.
Damien shudders because,
I'm sorry, it feels gross.
Holy light. I literally work for the frigging goddess of death.
Oh, if I didn't tell you, the doors are on the south and west walls. I can't remember if I told you or not.
South. No, we just came through west. South.
You both reach for the doors at the same time, and the white light fills the room, and you wake up with, once again, a door on the west wall and south wall.
Is the bus there?
Yep.
I open the south door before Zora can do fucking anything.
The white light fills the room, and once again, I'm sorry, but I need you to roll for initiative.
I'm so angry!
20 minus 1.
15.
2 plus 3.
So actually, so that's not bad. I checked your dice, and I got these in roll a lot.
Caitlin, what'd you get?
9.
Alright, and Vash got a 10. And, the voice, once again, as you're coming to, comes and goes, "Well, I guess you three really wanted to show me what you got. Because now it is time for your third challenge of the floor. It's Augie."
I just start swearing an abyssal.
As he says this, a Nothic bounds like onto the floor right in front of you. And it is ready to attack.
What is that?
A Nothic. It is a kind of looks like it's a one-eyed creature.
Oh, that thing's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, you have the monster manual in front of you.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
so it's not a four-legged Mike Wazowski then?
No.
It's kind of like Mike Wazowski if you
can
see that.
It is sort of Mike Wazowski, yeah.
If you gave Mike Wazowski a bunch of spikes.
Spike Wazowski.
Nice.
Ah, yes, but LB will be first. What would you like to do, LB?
Right, well, I would like to, I could use my Warhammer, but, I could use Command, but no, I'm not going to use that. Can I have a quick whisper with Damien?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Damien, have you got anything which can electrocute?
No, not really.
Okay, never mind. Then I won't use Create Water then. Can anyone else electrocute?
No.
None of us are bards. So.
The same. That'd have been great. If you eat Thunder Wave. Okay, then I will cast Inflict. How close is this Nothic to me?
He's about 15 feet in front of you, so you could make it up to him if you wanted to.
I could make it in range. Okay, I will cast Inflict Wounds upon him.
Alright, you're looking to beat a 15.
I'm going to beat a 15. And if memory serves me correctly, with Inflict Wounds, I am doing that with my spellcasting bonus. Which is good, because otherwise I'm weak as hell. Okay, so...
You have your D4 if you want it as well.
I do have my D4 as well if I need it. What? Some kind of arcane rune? What the hell is that?
Crit?
No.
Was it just like a 9?
All in, with everything else, 18.
Well, that is a hit, so roll me damage, please.
3d10 necrotic damage. Okay, move that out of the way. Okay, so that is a 4, an 8, and a 1. So that is 13 points of damage.
The wounds, you can see the scratches and wounds start to form across the Nothic as you grab onto it and flick the wounds. The Nothic just kind of roars straight back at you, just in absolute anger. Next we will go to Noonvark.
What can I do? Just a I'm going to do what apparently I like to do most and stab at it with the trident.
Alright, you're looking to beat a 15.
This is the most melee-based warlock I've ever seen.
That is a critical...
As you stab at the Nothic with your trident, it actually whips its face around to you and hits you with its rotting gaze. So I actually need you... You're going to take... 3 points of damage, and your next attack is on disadvantage because you are caught in its gaze, and it's not a pretty gaze.
But I'm a very pretty elf, surely that, like, does something.
Next, we will be going to Vash, and Vash will just try and shoot the Nothic straight dead in the eye. Vash is a terrible shot, though, and completely, once again, misses the Nothic, and the bullet glances harmlessly off the stone wall. Next, we will be going to Caitlin, or known as Damien.
Okay, I'm gonna whip out my crossbow and shoot it in the eye.
Alright. I will say that is an armor class of 13, then.
That's a crit.
That is a crit 20. So roll me a... What's the normal damage on the crossbow?
D8 plus 2.
Roll me a D12, please.
That's 10.
All right, and let me see. Well, that is a 2. So the bolt of the crossbow hits dead center into the middle of this Nothic's eye. And the Nothic roars in pain and immediately starts trying to claw at the bow, or the bolt, trying to pull it out. But it cannot get the bolt out of its eye, so it is now blinded for the time being. And then we will go to Zura.
I continue swearing in abyssal.
Because no one is doing a prostate exam in this campaign yet, I want to give it the most vicious prostate ever with my lance.
Well, since it is blinded right now, it has no way to defend itself, and you are, I guess, aiming for its soft underbelly, so beat me an armor class of 8.
Four plus 6, thank God for that.
Alright, roll me damage, please.
And I'm gonna add my plus 4 to this, make it extra painful. Well, it's a good thing, actually. Do I have that? Yeah, fuck it. 5.
Alright, you jab your lance right into the crotchal region of said Nothic, but Nothics are asexual, so you don't really hit anything, but you do give it a quite a nice jabbing in the groin region. and now it is actually the Nothic's turn to go. First of all, I'm going to see if I can get this bolt out of my eye. I'll do a strength check. That is a 5 plus 2. So no, that is a 7. I am still blinded. So I am going to... I'm going to skip my turn because I'm in so much pain and can't see. So we're going to go back around to LB.
Excellent. I'm going to when in doubt, I suppose, continue as you are. So I'm going to inflict wounds again.
How many spell slots do you have? Jesus.
I think that's my last one. I've been using cantrips in between, but it's my last one. So that is a 6 plus 5, which is 11.
I'm going to say it's a hit, because once again, this Augie is very upset with his eye being pierced and can't defend himself, so please roll me for damage.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. So that is 3d6, that's 4d6, just 3d10, sorry. 6. Is that a 6 or is that a 9? 9.
That's a 9.
The 9, 5, and a 3. So that
17.
Is 17.
And how does he die?
Basically, I walk up to him and put a hand either side and push enough so as the necrotic damage takes over, it fires the crossbow bolt back out and lands at Damien's feet.
So you squish his head like a pimple with inflict wounds, you're saying?
Really much. I do that, and it literally just sort of like melts in on itself.
I don't pick up the crossbow bolt.
You hear the clapping over the just echoing through the room. Oh, I do love my pets, but once again, you five are so impressive. Well, time for you to carry on, though.
At what point do you get bored?
He can't have that many more pets, surely.
I mean, he runs this place. I'm pretty sure he does.
The doors are located on the north, south, and west walls.
Open the west.
Oh, God.
The white light encompasses you, and you all wake up in the same room you've been in with doors on the north, south, west, and east walls. And you feel like you recognize this room, though all the rooms do appear the same. This one feels similar.
Okay, you're not allowed to touch any fucking doors, Grandad.
I would command you to do so, but I have run out of spell slots, so I can't.
It's fine.
I have a feeling Grandad isn't going to listen to a single thing we say.
I mean, you are meant to respect your elders.
Yes, but not when they're going senile, clearly.
If you'd like to make it to see your retirement, Grandad, fucking behave yourself.
I pull my dagger out and just hold it in my hand, just playing at the end of it.
You're not very scary, Elby.
I did fight in a war.
Oh, I fought in a war.
Oh, big whoop.
Aren't you supposed to respect war veterans?
I am a war veteran.
Really?
Bash is just watching all four of you argue, just kind of like eyes like all around, like just not really sure what to do.
I open the north door because I'm sick of these fuckers.
Alright.
Anyone who seems to have any modicum of sense around here.
Once again, the white light encompasses you, and as you enter you find yourself waking back up, you realize you are in the room that you battled the skeletons in. Oh, nope, I lied. This is where you battled Frankie, the shul. And his corpse is still laying on the ground. And once again, now the doors are on the east, west, and south walls.
So.
We took the south one to get to the Nothic, I think.
So do we add finding a retirement home for Grandad to our list then?
But what if the doors don't actually lead anywhere, they just transport you to wherever it feels like?
We've learned that the doors do transport you somewhere though. Because we wouldn't have gotten to all these fights.
I mean, it is up to Mr. Skyman here, basically.
Having a therapy session with himself because he's had enough of this.
If we just went north, then we shouldn't go south because we're just going to go back to the same room.
Have you ever heard the tale of Pokemon Red and Blue? Where you can end up going on teleport pads and ending up in random places and you get the right pattern? That. This is that.
I have heard that tale.
I open the east door.
You don't hear that tale where I come from.
Really?
The white light encompasses you, and you find yourself once again in the room with the giant dragonborn bust.
There we go. From here, we went south last time to get to the Nothic.
The doors are on the south and west walls only.
So I go south.
The white light encompasses you, and you find yourself with the decapitated, exploded head body of Augie, the Noctis, the Nothic that you killed recently, with a corpse there.
Okay,
Doors on the west, north, and south walls.
Law of averages then. South where to go, because west is Luke Bell, we went good last time, so south is where I would suggest, Damien.
Okay, I open the south door.
The white light encompasses all of you, and you find yourself waking up in once again the same castle room with doors on the west wall and the north wall. But along the south wall, you see once again a placard that is covered with a sheet.
Pull the sheet off. Is it Praxis?
As you pull the sheet off, you see the beheaded head of Paraxis, or Parasims, and the eyes open, bright white light, and the mouth begins to move.
Shame it's not Lucian.
A human fighter rides into town on Friday. Fighter stays and drinks for 3 days. Fighter leaves town on Friday. How is this possible? And as he finishes saying the riddle to you, the stone walls from the top actually began to slowly crumble down. Stones just falling one by one, one by one. And you can hear almost a growling coming from where the stones are falling in. And you must now solve the riddle. You have 7 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to do a history check on the walls quickly, because I have stone cunning, and I haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Okay.
Just see if there's anything I can do about getting us some more time if we need it.
Can you repeat the riddle?
A fighter rides into town on Friday. The fighter stays and drinks for 3 days. The fighter leaves town on Friday. How is this possible?
The horse is called Friday. Because you said on Friday, not on a Friday.
As Damien loudly spouts off the name of the riddle, the LB does find that the stones were just magical, and he didn't really find out anything about them.
No.
But the Parasim's face, the mouth closes, the eyes close for a second, and then once again, the mouth of Parasim begins to open wider and wider and wider, until it reveals a doorway and a set of stairs.
Are you going up or down?
After you.
Granddad, after you.
Okay. I just stroll in.
Can we shove him?
Tempting, but I think we may need him at some point, unfortunately.
As you all enter the staircase, once again the white light encompasses you. And
get a different color!
Once you wake up this time, though, you find yourself in a new room. The floors are of black marble. The walls are just pristine white. And there doesn't seem to be any markings on any of the walls or doors or anything of the like. They just seem to be solid white.
I like this room. I'm staying here.
Okay.
Are there any doors at all? Or is it just a room?
It doesn't appear there are any doors.
I have no more magic ability to detect magic or anything, so I must do this old-fashioned way with a good old-fashioned insight with the investigation check.
Go ahead.
It's a 5 plus 3, 8.
You, as you're looking across the walls, you're kind of just spinning around and just, you know, trying to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do here. You do notice that the center of the walls, while still pristine white, they do seem to have a little bit of an off-color square in the middle of each of the walls. And as you're looking closer, you do notice that these squares are located on the southern wall and the western wall.
Are there any, of those, like, little snake dagger symbols anywhere?
There is nothing in this room besides the white walls and the black marble floors.
So the slightly off-white bits, do you think they are, like, way of doors in lieu of actual doors here?
Might be push the panel and you end up in another room or something.
I walk up to the one in the south wall and touch it.
As you put your hand out and you touch the wall, the square actually becomes solid black. And as you do this, the floor, it seems, actually eats you. And your vision just goes completely black. And you're blacked out for a second until you wake up and once again find yourself in another white room with black marble floors.
Well, you want a different color, Damien.
I feel like Vicious needs better interior decorators.
As you begin to talk right there, I will need you all to roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Vicious shoots me for criticizing him.
15 all in.
13 minus 1.
19.
You all feel the back of your neck, like the hairs are, you know, some kind of feeling in the back of your neck as you all just kind of step backwards and you see in front of you multiple magical bolts fly across the path right in front of you and seemingly disappear into the walls. And Vash goes, shit, we're in another trap room. We got to move quickly. We got to go now.
What height were they at?
It was like a wall of them, basically. They're magical blue things. And Vash, with this, actually begins to freak out. And he runs, and he begins touching walls, like just trying to figure out anything. And Vash actually runs and hits the wall on the south, and the black dot or square begins to encompass him. And you all feel, as your vision goes black, and you wake up in another black marble room with white walls.
This is going to be the death of me again.
Okay. As you're waking up, you do notice about 5 feet to your left, there is a solid black marble chest that you can see.
I check it for traps.
Please roll for me. Give me a investigation check.
14.
You do notice that the lid of the chest does seem to have a cord that is connected to the floor as well, that if you would have lifted it, it would have set off something.
This is trapped. Grandad, no touch. Or okay. You die.
Would you like to try and disarm the trap?
Yes.
You can
kind of point for the others to step back a bit.
Is it made of just normal cord?
You can't really tell exactly what the cord is made of at this time.
That's a shame. If it's made of like rope, I could like cast Sacred Flame and burn it.
Don't worry about it. It's easier to disarm something by tricking the mechanism than it is to actually destroy the mechanism.
Okay, cool.
Why don't you give me a Arcana check, then, Caitlin?
Oh, I like Arcana.
Arcana, great.
14 plus 4, 18.
With that, you do notice that there, you can't see them, but as you're running your hands along the top of the chest, you do feel that there are etchings that are actually carved into the top of the box. And as you're running your hands over them, you realize that you can push at the same time. And as you're doing this, the lid actually opens itself. And you can now see into said chest.
What is in it?
At the bottom of the chest is a black leather-bound book that has a large clasp on it with a gold lock in a language. What language that you do not understand, Damien?
What language is it?
It looks to be very old-style handwriting, calligraphy even. If you had to guess, you would probably say it was either elven or human. But an old Englisher.
I'm an elf, so can I try and read it?
Why elf?
Nunvar can read said cover. And the book, it doesn't actually have a title on it, but the book just says power. Like, it's old, it's actually just old ruins from the elven dialect that you can see, and you can just see that it means power.
I give the book to the book. If we can open the lock, you can probably read the rest of it, so.
I've got nothing on me that can open a little lock like that, unfortunately.
Would my strength open the lock?
Please do not touch it, Grandad.
Oh,
dear. What's the lock made of?
It is a gold lock, and you can't, as you're examining it, you can actually feel the book radiating. Like, you can feel there's a presence with this book. But you can't break the lock by physical force.
I'll put the book in my backpack for now, then.
Let me quickly check something. I need to check what I can actually do with this cantrip.
I mean, I was tempted to get Julius to interact with it, see if it was warlock invocations or anything.
Because I'm relatively
sure.
I take
the book back out of my
I'm Joey.
If you'd like, you can both make arcana checks, my two warlocks, on this book right now.
That was a very ominous sentence. My two warlocks.
I got an excellent one. I mixed my new dice in with my old dice, and now they're all blurred, so...
Meanwhile, I got a dirty 20, so...
You can't read it, Damien, but the power that you can feel radiating off of this book, you actually hear a voice in the back of your head that is speaking a dialect that you don't understand. You can try and repeat it to, you assume it's elf, so you can try and repeat what you are hearing to Nunvark. And I just need you to roll me, let's say a wisdom check, just straight wisdom. And see if you can discern it well enough. Yep.
Wait, was 9 + 1.
So the only words that Nunvar can understand that you're trying to spout off to him are key, vicious, need.
Well, yes, I assumed we needed a key for it, but...
Does this belong to Vicious?
Potentially.
Or Vicious can't get into it, and he needs the key for it, and is hoping we'll be able to unlock it for him.
Yeah, it's just weird, because this whole place is his creation.
True, but...
And he's literally watching us right now.
He may have left it here for us. Because if we can get past everything else and we can unlock that, then it shows we're powerful, I suppose.
I mean, if I can unlock it, I'm not unlocking it for him.
But even if we do unlock it, can he even read it?
This is the thing. Together, we might be able to unlock it and read it, but he could only do one, not both of those things.
So for the meantime, shall we try and move on?
Yeah, you keep a hold of it for now.
I put the book in my backpack again.
If the voice speaks to me again, I'll let you know.
Okay.
It's like the world's shittest megaphone.
At this point, you can notice that there are seemingly the squares of the off-white color. They're on the west wall and the north wall at this point.
I touch the west one.
As the darkness consumes you all, and you wake up once again in another black marbled floor, white pristine room, you notice that once again on the south wall as you're waking up is a, why did I forget the word?
Head.
Yeah, it's another bust. No, it's plaque! Another plaque with a sheet over it. There we go. I think of those words.
Is it Lucian now?
As you remove the sheet, you are greeted with a warlock or a werewolf head on a plaque. And once again, the eyes open to a bright white, and the voice from it begins to speak and tells you.
I shout, thank you.
As the werewolf begins to speak, he says, "My life can be measured in hours. I serve to be devoured. Thin, I am quick. Fat, I am slow. Wind is my foe. What am I?"
Bird.
Oh, that's easy.
And as the riddle is finished being saying, you can see the middle of the floor actually begins to crumble away, just one little brick at a time. And you can hear it just falling and just falling and never seeming to stop.
I'm assuming it's a wax candle. Its whole purpose is to melt. And if it's skinny, then it melts faster. If it's fat, it takes forever. And obviously, if you blow out the flame, it won't melt.
And once again, Damien, as he speaks loudly, the mouth...
I'm sorry, Chaz, this is my shit.
...of Lucian closes for a second before once again widening and gaping into a large gateway, revealing another set of stairs. And before you can do it...
Stairs.
The voice echoes behind you as you're saying, "You're about to go to the bottom!" And you're, once again, your vision just all blacks out as Grandpa runs down the stairs and drags you all with him.
I shout, "You're a bottom!"
Do you just, like, Officer Earl your way into that?
Yeah, because I'm, like, 7 foot three, I just put you all under my arms and run.
I refuse to let this happen.
Ruin my hair.
I have no choice in the matter, unfortunately, it seems.
As you all wake up this time, it's definitely different. As you're waking up, you can feel the ground under you slowly swaying back and forth, and you can smell, as you sniff, it's seawater, it seems, or water. And all you can see in front of you is a gray metal corridor or platform that you're all laying upon. You actually can't see anything to the left or right. It seems to actually be encompassed in a black fog that is actually completely blocking your view. But as I said, you can feel the ground under you, you know, swaying gently back and forth, and you can smell water. And as you're all waking up, a voice echoes once again, and it's vicious. "Well, I can say I'm mildly impressed. I only have one more task for you. It's just... a simple one, really. All I need you to do is go to the end of this platform and pull the lever." And as his voice says this, like, you can see a whole walkways begin to be illuminated. And just these walkways that you can see, and they're, as I said, about 7 foot wide, and they stretch on for about 100 feet. And on the opposite end of these walkways, you can see a lever that is now being spotlighted.
Probably a kraken in the water or something, isn't there?
It's too simple.
It's way too simple. How heavy is the lever? How heavy does the how heavy does the lever look?
It looks like a pretty standard lever. It is probably about 3 feet tall, and just looks like it can be pulled.
If a raven landed on it, would it go down?
It would not.
Damn it.
I go forth towards the lever.
Okay, bye.
Nuvark's just had enough of Grandpa.
Alright, are you going to pull the lever, Nuvark?
If I kill you all, I'm really sorry, sort of.
I go stand next to Nuvark, because I'd rather die next to Nuvark than next to these two.
I pull the lever.
Don't give me that look, Matt.
So I'm stood there next to Grandad.
And Bash.
Thank you for coming to join us at the winning end.
Can I throw LB over to the winning end?
I mean, with your throwing arm, you'll probably kill him somehow.
It's a 100-foot gap, so no.
I walk very quickly away from the Lillian who wants to throw me, and quickly join Damien and Nunvark at the end.
I'm just going to sit on this side and see what happens.
Pull the lever.
I pull the lever.
Nunvark pulls the lever, and you can hear, like, all the lights suddenly flash on, and you can see this whole cavernous space that you're in. And as the lever is pulled, from the ceiling just falls what looks like chum into the giant pool of water that these platforms are floating upon. And as you're looking about, you can see that the walls are covered in skeletons that have been strung up with seaweed and other bits of chain and such. And as the chum hits the water, Vicious comes over the loudspeaker once again. You are right. It was too easy. Please, please have fun and meet my favorite pet. Oh, he's a wonderful one. And as he says this, unfortunately, how close are you to Vash, Zura?
I don't know, where was he actually in the room?
What'd you say?
Where was he in the room?
He's on your side of the fence, or the pathway.
I guess a foot or two.
Okay, I need to roll me a dexterity saving throw as well.
Okay. 13 plus 3.
As you are standing next to Vash, suddenly the water erupts next to you, and a huge creature tackles Vash off of the platform and slams into you as well, but doesn't knock you into the water. But the creature just takes Vash and dives deep under the water. And at this point...
Okay, bye!
I need you all to roll me for initiative. As Vicious is screaming over his loudspeaker, Riker! Dinner time!
11.
21.
15 minus 1, so 14.
4.
Well. 7 for Carrie. 21 for Zora. 4, you said, Caitlin?
Yep.
And Matt, what'd you get? I'm sorry.
14. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, mine was 11.
Oh. 11. Yeah. Okay, first up will be Zura. What would you like to do? You are on a floating platform. It's about 7 foot wide, and you are surrounded by water. And you're all by yourself.
Can I actually see the monster in the water?
You can see that there is a, like, current that is being, like, swam about. That's what you can see right now.
And I'm about 7 foot away from the other platform.
The rest of the party is all the way across the platforms.
I want to try and jump to the larger platform then.
Alright, roll me a strength athletics check.
Throw our dice.
16 plus 6.
Jesus Christ. Backflips.
You leap, and you are quite, you know, a strong Leonin. So you get quite far, but you don't make it, because you were 100 feet away from the other side of the platform.
I just walked.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I thought he said it was 7 foot.
Why didn't you just walk?
From the edge of the platform.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought he said it was 7 foot.
You've just taken a graceful swan dive into the water.
Yeah, Zura is now in the water. You're good in the water right now, but now you can see that this creature, as you go under, you can see what Riker is. How much do you know about? You're a beast king, so you would know. It is a larger than normal marrow that is swimming under the water. And if you don't know what a marrow is, it is a mutated fish folk. They basically look like a very evil version of King Triton. With a trident and everything.
Can I stab it in the face with my lance?
It is swimming directly at you, so you can try, but you will be doing this at disadvantage as you are not a water creature.
Okay. What armor class am I looking to be?
You're looking to be an armor class of 16.
Yeah, that's a definite miss.
And then you also, can you roll me a strength check, please, against my strength check?
2 plus 6.
Well, I got a 20. So you are now grappled by, said Riker, and he is dragging you under the water. So you'll have to deal with that here in a moment. But next we're gonna go to Matt. LB, what would you like to do?
Can I see where they are?
You can see, at this moment, you see that they're about to die. So yes, you can see where they are in the middle of the pool of water.
Okay, how deep is the water? Can I tell?
You can roll a check real quick if you'd like. Investigation.
Yeah. 17, plus 0. So 17.
You can tell, just, you know, you're quite a smart dwarf, so you can tell that the water goes down about 100 feet.
Okay, because I was thinking I could just destroy the entire amount of water. It would take me like 10 goes, so that'd be there all day. I can't use Inflict Wounds this range, and I haven't got any spells left anyway, so I can't do it. Anyway, not got much I can do from here, to be brutally honest.
You did say you were looking around, didn't you, Matt? Or LB?
Mm-hmm.
As you were trying to check that the water, how deep the water was, out of the corner of your eye, you do notice that a good 50 feet from you, at the center, off of these platforms, are what look like large cannons or harpoon guns.
I'm gonna try and fire one of the harpoon guns at the Mero.
Well, first of all, I need you to roll me a dexterity check to see if you can get to said harpoon guns safely. You are looking to beat a 5th. No, we'll say a 12.
Okay, dex. A dex check, yeah?
Yep.
7 minus 1. 6.
The floating of the platforms throws you completely off balance, and with your heavy armor, you tip over and fall into the water. But you do fall close enough that you can grab on to said platform, so you are not, or walkway, so you are not drowning yet.
Okay.
But you do not make it to harpoon guns.
Okay. Yikes.
Next we will be going to Nunvark!
Can I get LB out of the water?
Sure, yeah, you can help pull LB out of the water.
Yeah.
You're gonna need to do a strength check.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're probably gonna die then. Yeah, it's a 4, you're gonna die, sorry.
Hi.
I tried. That's all I can say. I did my best and it was not fruitful.
Nunvark tries, and it doesn't work, to pull LB out of said water. So we're gonna go right then to Damien.
Hello.
And once again, what you can still see is just the act of the diving. So you can still see where they are right now, because it's all kind of happening at once.
Is the Mero still holding on to Zora?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to try something. As an Air Ganassi, I get a trait that allows me to cast Levitate once per long rest. I'd like to cast Levitate on the Mero and try and, like, hold it out of the water. I can change its, what's the word? Verticality, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
By 20 feet in my turn, in a direction of my choice. If it fails a double check, Constitution saving throw.
All right. Well, I
would love to try that. Let me see then. Constitution saving. What am I looking to beat?
13.
That is a 5. So that does. You hit Riker, and Riker, still grasping on to Zura, floats how high above the water? He was only about 5 feet deep at this moment, so...
I lift him the full, like, 20 feet of elevation.
So
and I'm just I'm focusing, so it's a concentration spell, so I'm holding him there. Like, that's my whole turn.
So
hopefully
now...
someone can get to a harpoon gun or something.
So you're now 15 feet in the air. Well,
I am Darth Vadering this.
Holding Riker and Zura 15 feet in the air with your mind, which is pretty impressive. But it is now... It is actually Riker's turn. So I'm going to actually... Cause he's freaked out by the fact that he is now in the air. So he's going to drop Zura immediately. Zura, you're going to hit the water, so you don't have to worry about any fall damage. Alright, so I'm going to try and throw my harpoon at Damien, because I am trying to end my floating. That's a 1! So I huck my harpoon and just miss completely, and it hits the water without any effect. But now we are back to Zura, who you are once again in the water.
How far am I away from the harpoon?
You're in the center pool, so you could probably make it to a harpoon gun in one turn.
So, can I make it to the harpoon gun in Pyrian?
No, you can make it to the harpoon gun, though.
Alright, I'll swim to the harpoon gun.
Alright, you make it to the harpoon gun, and you load said harpoon into harpoon can. Now we will go back to LB.
Okay, I'm in the water still, aren't I?
Yep.
Will I be able to get out of the water and fire the harpoon in the same go or not?
I will let you get out of the water and make it to the second harpoon gun, but I will not let you fire it this turn.
Okay, so they're still in the air, right?
Yep.
Okay, so while they're still in the air, so it's... Riker,
yeah.
What else?
No one. He dropped Azura, so it's just Riker.
Okay, just Riker. Okay, so I'm still holding on to the side, and I'm going to cast Sacred Flame, my cantrip at it.
Alright.
I'm running out of things I can do, but I know I can cast that.
Is that a wisdom saving, or what do I need to do here?
Just double checking that for you now. I think it's a saving throw. Cleric. Sacred Flame. It is a dexterity saving throw. Yeah.
Alright. And I'm looking to beat.
Dexterity saving throw. My saving throw DC. Resist the spell I cast. It's 13.
That's a 4, so I roll me some damage.
1d8 radiant damage. D8. Here we go. That's an 8.
And a crit 8, so... the sacred flames encompass Riker, and he roars in pain.
I'm going to use my movement to get out of the water. But that's it.
Fantastic. Alright, next then we will go back to Noonbark.
Oh dear. Would Eldritch Blast have any effect on...
Ooh,
I'm just saving my spell slots just in case. so I'd like to cast Eldritch Blast.
Alright, you're looking to beat an armor class of 15.
Might help if I stop throwing things off the table for a spell. That's 16.
Alex is fanboy next to Kay for benefit of a tape.
Well, roll me your damage then, please.
I don't know what that was, so... that's 6 all in. Good crap.
Alright. The Eldritch Blast smashes into the still floating Riker, who is just roaring in rage as he cannot do anything but flop around in the sky like a useless Magikarp at this point. But next we are going to go then back to Damien. Are you going to continue concentrating, or what are you going to do?
Bit higher up, so he's kind of in better range for the harpoon guns, but apart from that, it's concentration, so I'm just gonna maintain that. Note for you, they can only move if they, like, pull themselves on a fixed object in the room.
And there is nothing that is around Riker currently in this room, as it is just a wide open cavern. So, with that, I guess Riker has to skip his turn, as he lost his harpoon as well, because he missed when he tried to huck it at Damien. So Riker just roars in anger, and we are up to Zura now.
I'm definitely firing the harpoon.
All right. Since Riker is basically defenseless in the sky, I will just have you roll damage, and I will have you roll me 2d12s, please.
Okay. Someone likes it. 13
all in?
Yeah.
Alright, so Zura fires said harpoon cannon, and unbeknownst to you, the harpoon is actually connected to a chain as well, and the harpoon and chain fly, and it crushes into Riker's chest, embedding itself there, and you can see that Riker now has a harpoon in his chest and is still connected to the harpoon cannon that you just fired at him.
Shit.
Since I've only fired it, do I have any movement left?
I'll allow you to take... You could do one more thing. I'll allow it since you took all your actions to get to said harpoon cannon.
If I shake the chain violently, would that do more damage? Because it's, like, moving the harpoon in him.
Sure, roll me a d6 to torture said Riker in the air. Alright, he takes four more pain damage as you basically twist the harpoon by yanking on the chain. Alright, we are back to LB then.
Tempted to load and fire one again, but at the same time I don't know if that's such a good idea. I'm gonna do Sacred Flame again. It seemed to work quite well last time. This time, shouting profanity at the other people.
I rolled a 7, so roll me damage, please.
Okay, so it's a 1d8, what's it, d8, looks like. D8. That is a 7.
So once again, the flames engulf Riker, and the roar of rage from him actually shakes the room because he is just getting more and more enraged as more he can do less and less. So he will take those. Alright. And that means we are to Nunvark.
Are there any more harpoon cannons?
There is the second harpoon cannon.
How far am I from it?
You were near LB, so you're actually pretty close at this point. You can get to it in this turn.
Okay, can I get over to this one and load it?
Yes. It will cost your whole turn, though.
Yeah. Nunvark feels helpful.
So Nunvark goes to the second harpoon cannon and loads it up. Which brings us back to Damien.
I know what's going to happen next, and I'm very annoyed. Because the moment I mention the pushing-pulling thing, suddenly there's a chain attached. Chad.
I promise you the chain was always attached.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'll show you my notes.
And I'm straight. I think I'm just going to kind of jerk him. I'm going to try and jerk him out of the harpoon
chain
that's embedded in him.
Okay. Yeah, he's pretty... All right.
It's only like a 5-foot just kind of...
Just a quick sudden jolt. Alright, roll me a d4, and if you get a even, I will say that it worked. That is an even. So the harpoon does dislodge itself from the chest, and he will take... Can you roll me that? Roll me a d6 quick for damage, please, because it does hurt when a harpoon is removed.
3.
So you will take 3 more points of damage, and the harpoon and chain fall and make a large splash into the water and immediately begin to sink. But now, so... We're back to... I can't do anything because I'm in the air. So we'll go back to Azura.
There's nothing really I can do.
You can retract it back. It's the chain's attached to the cannon.
Yep. You can retract up. You can reel the harpoon in. It will cost you your whole turn.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that then.
Azura.
Question, quickly.
Yes.
I don't know how this actually works, but if an enemy is frightened, does that do anything? Like, to its attack roll?
Usually it rolls a disadvantage if it's frightened, or I wouldn't be able to attack you, or I have to stay away from you.
Alright, so do I have my bonus action then?
Sure.
Alright, I will use, I didn't actually take the whole name. It's like Terrifying Roar, I think. You have to make a Wisdom saving throw or be frightened for 1 minute.
Okay. And what's the save? I gotta beat.
I have to roll my Wisdom plus Charisma plus Proficiency.
Oh. I got a 12, but he has a minus 3 for his Wisdom because he ain't very smart or wise. So that will be a 9.
I rolled 22.
I think that might be enough.
So as well as being just furiously mad while floating through the air and not being able to do anything, now you can also see that the gnoll is actually, or is trying, Riker is trying to get itself away from Zura, even though it's floating in midair, so kind of just looks like it's pawing at the sky.
Hail Satan!
And that brings us back to LB.
How close to death is this thing, do you think?
It's bleeding, but it doesn't seem to have weakened. It's weakened some, and it's bleeding all over, but it still seems rather angry.
Yeah, this distance, all I can actually do is just keep throwing my flames at it, because I'm out of spell slots.
Well, I will roll my dexterity saving throw. That's a critical one! So I would like you to roll me double damage.
Double damage, my favorite language. That's 2D. Okay, so that's a critical 8 and a 7. So that's 15.
The flames really seem to hurt Riker this time, as the roar that he comes. It actually isn't as much anger anymore, as it seems to be more pain at this point. But we will go to Nunvark now.
I'm going to fire the harpoon cannon.
Finish him!
I will have you roll me 2d12s then.
There's no
d12,
that's this one. Oh, okay.
There's
9 all in.
Alright, so he takes 9. Oh, the blood is just pouring from the wound as the harpoon lodges itself into Riker's stomach. But it is lodged there, and he lets out another pained roar. But he still is alive here at this moment. But we will now go to Damien.
As this is taking my concentration, if I do anything else...
He will fall back into the water.
He will fall back into the water. And Zora's just loaded another harpoon gun. So, I think I'm just going to do the little jerk again.
Alright, once again, roll me a d4, and if you get the even, I will say that he is lodged.
3.
You try, but roll me a d6 for still damage, because this does hurt very much. Jerked around.
Six.
Crit six. So you do not dislodge the harpoon, but the blood is actually, you can see that it moves about, and it seems that it might have pierced something else, because now the blood, the blue blood of Riker is just pouring from his belly wound.
Yeah,
but he is not quite dead yet. But it is Riker's turn, and he does have the said chain in his belly.
Because he's frightened.
Oh, he is frightened. All right. Well, I will... You know, since he's frightened, bleeding, I'm going to try and pull myself on the chain. And I roll to my d20. Well, that is a 3 and a 5. So the blood that is pulling from the stomach actually makes it so that Riker cannot grasp the chain. And so he's just kind of flopping in the air at this chain while bleeding all over. And that brings us back to Zura.
Okay, I guess I'm going to shoot it and then straight into his chest and then shake the chain again.
Alright, roll me 2d12s.
Brutal.
Please kill him.
Taking the chain, do extra damage.
Well, what'd you get for the 2d12s first?
Okay. 17.
How does he die?
Well, it just, as I fire it, it goes through the chest and takes his heart out on the other end.
Sheesh. Wow!
As this happens and the heart comes out, David, are you going to release your concentration?
Yeah, because this is really draining on Damien. Like, he is barely fucking standing.
The corpse, as it falls from the sky, the harpoons, since he had the harpoon in him, he kind of just falls and he goes towards it. And he gets a large splash. And over the loudspeaker, you just... You were everything I hoped you would be. Well, I guess it's time we meet then. At this point, the giant pool that is in front of you starts to glow with white light. And suddenly out of nowhere, Vash pops up with a smile, and he comes out of the water and he goes, "Good seeing you guys. See you soon." And he dives into the illuminated water, disappearing.
Son of a bitch.
I'll
be back in a minute.
Vicious Vash.
Alright, change of look with Damien.
Damien's honestly so tired, he's like, I'm so fucking done.
Do they dive into the fancy glowing water?
I mean, yeah, it's either that or die here, I guess.
Lunvark just yeets himself into the water.
Damien just kind of steps off the platform, just kind of graceful.
I push Grandad in and follow him in afterwards.
Get thee gone, Grandad.
As you all enter the water, you can feel your body just being like pulled through a portal. It feels like you're being rushed, like just wind all about you. But as you're being pulled through this portal, you black out, unfortunately. And you're now somewhere else. And that will wrap up Episode 2.
I'm gonna fucking kill it!
Grandpa, come back and join the final clap with us!
Grandpa just needed to empty his bowels.
Grandpa needed to go for a grandpa whiz.
Grandpa got yeeted into water.
Yeah, you got pushed into the water.
Fair enough.
Whew, right. Thank you, Chad, again, for a fantastic episode. How about you start off by telling everybody where they can hear your stuff at?
Of course, you can check out View from the Top Rope every Thursday on Visionaries Global Media, The Chatterbox, and So You're So Smart. Chatterbox will be Wednesdays, and I'm thinking Sundays for So You're So Smart. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Chads_mind, or you can follow the View from the Top Rope Twitter account, which I also run at View from Top Rope.
Excellent. Caitlin, where can people hear from you and read your excellent articles?
If you want to just chat to me normally, I'm Caitlin RC on Twitter. If you'd like to read my articles, I write about mental health and gaming on themindgame.org, and I'm also hosting a panel with EGX Digital about mental health.
Absolutely fantastic. I encourage everybody to go and keep their eyes on that, because it's brilliant, I'm pretty sure. Because Caitlin says, oh, it is. Kerry.
I am Shiro Beans on Twitter and Instagram. The only thing I've got of note at the moment is I'm still very slowly putting together my own campaign.
Woo!
Which we're looking forward to playing.
Yes!
My character for that is going to be so amazing. We're scaring her a little bit, but
well, Kerry, I've had three amazing characters so far, so I look forward to a fourth.
My beam.
Excellent. And Alex.
Obviously, you can find me at Spiderbread UK. You can find mine and Matt's show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find this show at Game Junkies Presents. Oh wait, no, it's Dungeon Junkies, isn't it?
It's Dungeon Junkies. Yes, you always get one wrong. It's all right. It's all good.
It's Dungeon Junkies. You say Game Junkies, and then you try to say Game Junkies again.
Yeah. Yes, what you trying to do. And you can find me at Matt.UK, find Alex and me on Game Junkies every other Saturday, find Chris's show every other Saturday, opposite to us, and of course, thank you to our sponsor, Top of Triumph Shares, 10% off at final sale with Game Junkies, all capital letters, as the code. Thank you again to Caitlin, to Kerry, Chad for running an amazing campaign. Alex, take us out, buddy.
I'm Alex.
I'm Matt.
And we're out of here.
Boom.
And I'm furious.
And that's saying it.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.